anticipation of Purim, we'll begin talking a two-part discussion about the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, always a festive topic. Shalach Manos has a Leibedik history, as befits its nature, as far as how the lumdus exactly of Shalach Manos work. The whole controversy starts with Ramah, he issues a ruling which got people very worked up. The Ramah says as follows. Let's say I call up Dov on Purim morning and I say I have some Shalach Manos for you. I want to bring you over. And he says to me, you know what? Thank you so much. It's a wonderful thought. But don't do it because I already have too many. You won't even be able to open the door. It's too crowded. Keep it. Stay home with your family. It's the thought that counts. Says the Ramah. He's right. It's the thought that counts. And I'm Yotzei Shalach Manos. I am in fulfillment of my mitzvah. I'm done. And this ruling was very controversial. Prichadish and others thought this was not so pashut. That in our Megillah's Esther, it says, Mishloach Manos Yishloyehu. Mishloach Manos has to actually be sent. So, Mehechi Tesi, where does he get it from? That Mechila is good enough. That if I offer it to somebody and the guy says, okay, I'm Mechil, then that's enough. I'm the fulfillment of Shalach Manos for that. How does he know? There's a discussion about this in the Korban Nisanul and Megillah and Dav Zayin. There is a discussion of the fact that sometimes we find there is a notion of mechila, mechila hiskabalti. If somebody says, I owe you $10, the other guy can say, well, it's okay, I consider it as if I accepted, if I already have the $10 and I'm mechila. So sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. So how would you know, why would you assume that it works for Shalach Manos? Doesn't seem like it should be the case. So this is a whole controversy in it. Continued to be a controversy for several hundred years until it reached the desk of the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer in his Chuvas believes in the Kufbei God. So the Chassam Sofer did a little research on the topic and he came up with a conclusion that there's two shitas, there are two opinions as to what is the purpose of Shalach Manos. And perhaps those two opinions may shed some light on this issue. Because on the one hand, so there is the opinion of the Trumas Hadashin. The Trumas Hadashin, one of the Rishonim. So the Trumas Hadashin seems to understand that, say seems, a little bit of a discussion here, that the purpose of Shalach Manos is to help out with another one of the mitzvahs of Purim. And that is the mitzvah of Suda. Right? We essentially have four mitzvahs of Yom of Purim, Matanos Avyonim, Shalach Manos, Suda, and Megillah. So perhaps there's a relationship between these two. But the purpose of Shalach Manos is to help out with the Suda. That maybe somebody's not going to have enough food in order to have a proper Suda. So therefore we should have Shalach Manos in order to make sure that enough food is spread around. The other opinion is that of the Manos HaLevi. Manos HaLevi was written by Rav Shlomo Alkabet, who's famous for writing two things. Famous for writing L'cha Dodi, and for this one line in the Sefer Manos HaLevi, this became very famous. That he wrote, Manos HaLevi is his commentary to Megillah Esther, and towards the end of Megillah Esther, in Parak Tes, he has his pasuk, Mishlach Manos Yishloyehu. So Manos HaLevi has a comment on this pasuk, which the Chassam Sofer discovered, and he said, this is the other opinion. What's the other opinion? That this is to fix the Tanya of Haman. That Haman said there is this nation, the Jews, Mephuz and Mephurah, they're all spread out and they're separated from each other, and we should get rid of them. So we want to show Haman, you think we're so separated, you think we're so dispersed, we're together really. And we want to fix that, we want to be together. So how do we become together? So the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So if we send gifts of food to each other, so that will be marbish shalom bereis, that will create bonds of friendship, and that's what it's going to take. That'll fix the situation. So apparently, says the Chassam Sofer, we have two opinions, that either it's there to help with the Suda, or it's there in order to increase bonds of friendship. So says the Chassam Sofer, we have to be chayker, which one is right. And it says the ruling of the Ramah is dependent on this issue. Because if the Ramah is correct, so then it comes out that perhaps the idea is like the Manos HaLevi, that it's about making friends. So if the whole idea of sending these gifts of food is in order to engender friendship, so then Taka is right. It's a thought that counts. It might be different if the guy says, no, don't bring the Shachmanis because I don't like you and I don't want to see you. And he throws it back in his face, and it might be a different story. But if he says, listen, thank you for the thought, but I'm full, I'm fine, so it's probably, maybe he's right. It's a thought that counts. But if it's like the Truma Sadeshen, that it's there to help with the Suda, so then it doesn't make sense to say that Mechil is going to work. It doesn't fit to say that people should be able to be mochel, because the way we often find with things such as this, so if we're basically saying that it only exists for people who really need it, so nobody's going to want to admit that they need it. No one's going to actually come forward and accept the Shalach Manas, and the whole institution is going to fall apart. And people will be able to easily get out of it. They'll just pick their rich friends and they'll offer it to them, and that'll be the end. So if we're trying to spread food around to people who need it, it doesn't make sense to say that mechila should work. That's how the Chassam Sofer assumes. So this was a groundbreaking tshuva, because in the 200 plus years since, it's been basically accepted as a minhag Yisrael that any question anyone ever has in Shalach Manas must be connected to this chakir. And then you are obligated by force of law or minig or something to connect any issue that will ever come up in Shalach Manas to this Tshuva Sasan Sofer. And it is no breaking that. So if someone says to you, should I put my Shalach Manas in a red basket or a blue basket? It's off. So I'm telling the Sasan Sofer that if it's about being Marba Shalom Bereis, so blue is a more cheerful color. But if it's about the Suda, so red will look better on your table. And somehow every issue that ever comes up must tie back to this. And the Chassam Sofer himself, before finishing the tshuva, he throws in one more nafka mina. He says this should also have a nafka mina for somebody, if somebody, as we call, somech al shulchan acherim, somebody is not supporting themselves, they have other people paying for them, so then it's a good question why they should be obligated in Shalach Manas. Because the Ramah also says that a married woman in general, and presumably a married woman as well, are obligated in Shalach Manas. So the Chassam Sofer says that's got to be l'shitaso, because it's not such an obvious point. Because if the idea was to help with the Suda, so then you could argue that if you don't pay for your own Suda, so how could you be obligated to pay for somebody else's Suda? That maybe it should only apply to people who supply the Sudas for themselves. But if it's about making friends, so then maybe that's not the... maybe that's not the same question, and maybe we could say that even if you're not paying for your own meal, you still have a mitzvah to spread around a little friendship. So that's Chassam Sofer himself put in there, and again, it became accepted that all issues in Shalach Manas have to draw from this. There was one holdout, the Tshuvas HaChelkes HaSodeh, was written by Reblazer Deutsch, dying of a bony head, hungry. He was a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer, so he thought the whole thing is not true. That there isn't really any machlokas. That essentially the Truma Sadeshin and Manos HaLevi agree. That they're saying the same thing. That the Truma Sadeshin agrees with the Manos HaLevi's idea that the purpose, I mean, he agreed before him, but he says the purpose of Shalach Manas, he understands also, is to make friends. He's just saying that since you're going to make friends with gifts, and since there's an obligation of Suda, so you might as well send a gift of food rather than a gift of blankets or whatever else. But not that he's telling you a whole radically different idea. He's saying the same thing. That it's also about making friends. Just the gift itself should be a food gift because of this issue of the Suda. So he thought there is no machlokas here. The whole thing is blown out of proportion. But he was drowned out by everybody else. All the literature since then all works off this assumption. There was one issue which I thought for a while was independent of this, and maybe there was one issue that you could get by without talking about the Chasam Sofer, and then I saw even that didn't last. There is a discussion the post can have, perhaps most prominently in the early Sfarim, the Binyan Tzion, the Yaakov Ettlinger. It's based on Iran. The question is, there is a hanhaga that some people have that Shalach Manis should be done davka, Shalach Manis Mishloach davka through a shliach. That you shouldn't give Shalach Manis yourself, but that you should have someone else deliver it for you. And so there's a whole discussion in the poskim whether this is true or not. A couple of interesting issues come up. You know, first of all, it's hard to believe that any mitzvah is going to require shlichus, because the whole nature of shlichus is that, besides the concept you usually have of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, but even more than that, that we normally assume that shlichus only works for something you could do yourself. So it's generally a logical impossibility to have something that can only be done through shlichus. So the Dvar Avraham already explains that this does not mean shlichus in this normal sense of shlucho shladim kamoso. It doesn't mean the principle of halachic shlichus, the agency. It means you have to use a messenger. It gives the example of the Gemara in Kedushin, the famous question the Gemara raises about Kohanim. What's the role of Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash? Are Kohanim shlucha de Rachmana, shlucha de Don? Are they messengers of us, or are they messengers of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So, technically speaking, they can't be shluchim either. That if whatever the Kohanim can do in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yisraelim can't do, so they can't really do it through shlichas either. So Avraham says it doesn't mean shlichas, that means they're the messengers. And so to hear, this whole notion is about messengers, not about shlichas in the halachic sense. But maybe we dafka need a messenger. The Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuva Salaf Al Chashlomo has a discussion where he just tangentially, where he seems to be assuming it is a general shlichas idea, because he discusses the question of, do you have to check up if the shliach did it in order to be yotzei? So is it enough for you to give to the shliach and let him go do the job? Or do you have to check up on him later? So that he relates to the discussion of Gemara, which is a general shlichus discussion, of whether you say you have an assumption that shliach osa shlichuso, that it's safe to work off the basic assumption that a shliach has performed his mission. So normally we distinguish that if it's a din min haTorah, so we don't rely on that, and we try to make sure that we know what the truth is. And if it's a din derabanan, so then we can rely on shliach osa shlichuso. So what's shalach manis? Right, so you're familiar with this issue, right? What's Shalach Manis? So Shalach Manis, you'd say on the surface, is Din D'Rabbanan. It's not necessarily true, or it's not necessarily treated that way. So a lot of the poskim felt that we relate to the mitzvahs of Purim like it's a mitzvah min haTorah. What's this based on? That it's largely based on the Shagas Aryeh's influence. The author of the Shagas Aryeh is a sefer in Megillah, the Chagiga, and on Rosh Hashanah, called Turi Evin. So the Turi Evin to Masachas Megillah, he says to Yisod, that there is a phrase the Gemara has in Masachas Rosh Hashanah, which he is taking into a different context. I won't call it out of context, but I'm saying it doesn't have to mean this in the context of that Gemara. But the Gemara says that Divrei Kabbalah, which is a reference to things that we learn from the Nevi'im, things that are transmitted to us through the Sifrei Nach, so Sifrei Nevi'im, those are called Divrei Kabbalah. Gemara has this expression, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Dominu. In that context, it says it's treated like Divrei Torah. So the Turi Evin asserts that that means that anything that's transmitted to us through the Nevi'im, such as the fast days, which are mentioned in the Pasuk in Zechariah, and Kavod and Oreg Shabbos, which are mentioned in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, and all the mitzvahs of Purim, which appear in Megillas Esther, so all of those dinim are called Divrei Kabbalah, says the Turi Evin. We treat them all like a Din Min haTorah. We say Sveika L'chumra, etc., the whole story. Now, there are Rishonim who don't agree with this. Before the Turi Evin, there are Rishonim who don't seem to take this stance. Probably the Rambam and the Raivad, there's no debut that points out in the Tshuva. And the Ramban seems to not agree with this, but the Turi Evin's voice was very loud on this issue, and many of the poskim work off this premise that the rules of Purim, these four mitzvahs of Purim, we treat them like they are dinim d'oraisa. We work off that assumption. So if that's the case, so then he says maybe we should assume that Meshach Manas did like a din min haTorah. So we say we're not so sure shlichus shlichus. So we have to check up on him. We have to take the shlichus a little more seriously. Hi, sorry.
Just on that point, it's a little tangential, but the Gemara sometimes mentions like a pasuk of Tanakh, and then they sit and they like infer that it's a Doraisa. So is that just referring to the Tanakh as Doraisa? And that, I mean, when it brings a pasuk from Tanakh, does that mean that it's a Din Doraisa, or that's just
usually not. Usually we don't really find it's not usually how we view things. That usually the pasuk, if it is the Dimon HaTorah, is a pasuk from Chumash. If it's from Navi Mamash like this, that it's really a Divrei Kabbalah, or it's what the Gemara calls a Giloy Milsa, the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kama, Parash Mishpatim, which is the first half in Bava Kama, says that sometimes the Navi will tell us what a word means, something like that, and the Gemara will quote that as a proof that that's what a Din is, because it's interpreting a word based on Navi. Hi.
Yeah, just two clarification questions. One, who was the one that said that the Chumas Zedeshin was agreeing with the Menos Alevi?
Chumas Chalkas Asada.
Chalkas Asada. Right. And also, what was the answer to the question that how could it be a dafka only to give to the Shlichas at the Mitzvah, because a Shlichas is only a din where if we could do it ourselves?
Because when advertised, the Dvar Ram explains, this isn't real Shlichas. The Shlichas, we talk about agency, Shlucha Shladim Kamoso, that's one type of Shlichas, halachic Shlichas. But maybe here we're not talking about halachic shlichas. We're talking about using a messenger, using the term shliach in a different sense. That you should have a person bring it for you. You don't mean the sense of halachic agency, where you will appoint a qualified adult who is obligated in the mitzvah to perform a mitzvah on your behalf, and he performs it in your stead. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about using an intermediary, using the physical act of shlichas, of having a messenger.
Unless if you do it, then.
So the conclusion, the post when we talk about this, including the Binyan Tzion, is that, yes, we didn't get to that part yet, but the conclusion is that we're not so worried about Shlichus, but there is this whole discussion that maybe we should be worried about Shlichus. Part of the proof that we're not really worried about Shlichus is that the people who are, and in the halachic sense, I mean, it's not really halachic Shlichus, is that the people who are makbid on Shlichus very often use children. So normally they're going to ask. Right, so normally a child is not going to be qualified for shlichus, is not chayim mitzvah, is not an adult, is not going to be able to perform shlichus in a halachic sense. So that's consistent with this idea that it's not really about shlichus. You can use a child, and you can also use a non-Jew. You can use a mailman for this idea. We may not, the member of the mailman is not Jewish. So we're not talking about the shlichus in the normal sense of shlichus on Kamos, so we're talking about having an intermediary bring it. So again, the conclusion of even those who brought up this whole story, as far as I understand, pretty much across the board, nobody really believes this is Li'ikuva. It's maybe has some value to it, but it's not necessarily something that you really have to do. So I thought, once upon a time, that whatever you feel about this story, this is not related to the Manos Halevi and the Chumas Zedeshin. Because either way, if it's about providing people with food, so you can provide people with food directly or indirectly. And if it's about making friends, so again, it shouldn't matter. That's what I thought. Until I saw that the Satma Rav, in his Tshuvas Divrei Yoel, so he has a reason to explain why it is connected. Now, it doesn't necessarily work in every case. You have to formulate the notion in the extreme. But if you think about it in extreme terms, so he basically says like this. If you want to say that it's about helping people with food, so then, in a chanami, so then, you're right, it doesn't matter whether you do it yourself or whether you do it through somebody else. But if you want to do it in order to make friends, so let's consider two extreme cases. All right, so I'm, Purim morning, I'm walking around bringing shachmanis, and I happen to run into Dov on the street. So Dov says, oh, you're giving out shachmanis, huh? I'm like, oh, yeah, I am, well. Good to see you. Okay, here, why don't you have one too? Right, so, okay, so I gave him a shachmanis, but I didn't really mean to, and he may catch on that he shouldn't be too flattered by the fact that I gave him a shachmanis. He may catch on that this was not necessarily so intentional. But if Dov should choose to move to Alaska, and then next year, Purim time, he wakes up in Alaska, and he finds that there is a Federal Express Eskimo thing outside his door, and that 3.5 months before, I planned out this whole thing to send him the shachmanis with the Pony Express to the Eskimo to the whole thing, and it got to him on Purim, so that he's going to be very impressed. He's going to realize that I thought of him, and that even though he's not in front of me, I still had him in mind, and I had it worked out that he should get there. So then that's going to have a big effect. So if you're dealing in these extremes, then maybe you can see why it's going to have a different effect in terms of friendship, whether it's more direct or less direct. So again, there's some subjectivity there. Hi.
Nobody entertains the possibility at all that the idea of shlichus would not be at all, the whole yisod of the modern slave at all. Saying if it's chavrus, then it should be a personal thing. If it's taking it becomes impersonal.
But why did I remember about you? I mean, do you ever, if you get a gift in the mail, so does it ever think, oh, huh, yeah, if it was really friendly, he would have brought it himself?
That's an extreme example.
If you don't tell
that's essentially what it is. You get a gift delivered to you, so you think, okay, the guy thought of me, he's telling me a gift to somebody. I think the Minigolim is when they receive a gift, they don't necessarily have a time on the person that they mailed it to them, that it was delivered, I think. And maybe the experience would be different.
So it'd be better not to send it without telling them who you are, just say, I'll give this
to you. So we'll mention that point. So I was trying to decide when to cut off for tonight. So what we'll do is we'll merge everything into Purim, part one of Purim, and then we'll probably have part two or maybe part three of Purim. We'll continue Shaf Manas next week, but maybe this is a good point to add here. So we mentioned that everybody follows the Chassam Sofer, maybe to an extreme. So one person who's certainly entitled to follow the Chassam Sofer is Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer is the son of the Chassam Sofer, so we can forgive him for going the bandwagon here of following the Chassam Sofer's approach as well. So he raises the following question, which is basically what you were saying. So what if, this is not, by the way, recommended Bisman Azeh in a contemporary context, but he considers the question, what if somebody wants to give an anonymous Shalach Manas? Wants to give a Shalach Manas without a name. So again, Bisman Azeh, to leave a package with no name on it outside somebody's house is maybe less than recommended. But at least in theory, could raise the question, so what would the story be about anonymous Shalach Manas? So it's interesting that here this is also a pretty good test case to put into the Chassam Sofer, because this seems to really present two distinct possibilities here. That if it's about making friends, so then the Chassam Sofer assumes that you're not going to have such a good success rate in making friends if people don't know where it's coming from. That's like they did this test to find out that very often a lot of the commercials that are most memorable, so people remember the commercial, but they don't always remember what the product is, so it doesn't help. So they have a big impact, but they don't know where it's coming from. It's not going to accomplish anything. So too, you can send a beautiful Shalach Manas. They don't know it's from you, so you're not going to accomplish anything. Now, I could hear you could say, yeah, but it'll create a positive feeling towards the whole Jewish people, whoever it is who sent this permanent gift, presumably some other Jew, it'll still be effective. So apparently that's not what we're looking for. Apparently we're looking for creating a direct bond between Gavra and Gavra, between individual and individual, and that would require knowing who it comes from. So if, that's an assumption, that if it's about this, so if it's about making friends, then it would have to be identifiable. But if it's a type of tzedakah, so then you could say the opposite, because we know the famous levels that the Rambam has of tzedaka, because matnas aniyim, the Rambam has a different eight levels of tzedaka, so we know that it's considered to be an even higher level of tzedaka if you give anonymously, if you don't identify yourself. So one could argue that this, if this is a type of tzedaka, so maybe it's better if I don't say where it's from. And so therefore, this question of anonymous Shalach Manas is perhaps a good test case of these two possibilities. Perhaps it illustrates two very different directions we could take towards this question, depending on which side we want to take. Bill mentioned one more example of just how things could really go in different directions. So there are a number of posts going to discuss the question of whether you can give Shalach Manas to a cotton. Whether you can definitely give, whether you can be Yotze Shalach Manas to a cotton. So of course, by law, everyone has to assume it's dependent on the Chassam Sofer. But it's interesting, Sfarim have opposite approaches. Some say, Rabbi Olbam has a piece about this in his Mechitz Chayin, and a couple of other Sfarim talk about this, I think the Archa Shulchan talks about this. So that if it's about, some Sfarim say that if it's about Suda, so a cotton is not chayiv in Suda. But if it's about making friends, okay, so you can make friends with the cotton, he's not chayiv in mitzvah, it doesn't matter, you can still be marav shalom v'reis with the cotton. And some say the opposite, that if it's about Suda, so the cotton's also a part of the family Suda, he'll also benefit from what's being put there. But if it's about being Marav Shalom V'Reyes, so that people are generally going to be friends with people in their own age group. It's not shaykh that the adult is going to make friends with the child, so it doesn't work. So it shows you how you could be a little flexible with this point, and you have sort of taking opposite sides. Whereas the Shaila, working with the same stadim and putting them in opposite directions. Did you,
Yeah, it's not really such a good question, but also, the last a lot of people
down.
Get pretty drunk on Purim. So you,
really?
A lot of gifts that, like, you give out, you don't really, the person doesn't have it, they're getting a gift.
Maybe that's a Shaila.
You have to give it like earlier in the day. I don't know.
Maybe you should be makbid to get a little we'll cliffhanger. Maybe we'll try to talk about something like that next week, about how much you have to worry about his awareness of the gift. And hopefully before Purim, maybe next week or the week after, maybe we'll also give some specific attention to the concept of drunkenness on Purim. And that mitzvah, or that concept as far as how drinking on Purim relates. Hi.
Makar and the Chalkus Sada?
Yeah, it's there. What number? I'll bring that up next week. I'm one of the same. Inside the book. Sorry? Yeah, Kuchsari Vav. If not there, try Kuchsari Vav. It's Kuchsari Vav. In the Arachayim. If you want to take a look there, he also has an interesting, maybe we'll mention if we talk about drinking, but at the end of the last paragraph of the Tshuva, he has an interesting word about the whole drinking thing. But we'll, the Chassam Sofer. Yeah, again, maybe hopefully we'll get to that before Purim. Okay, thank you for waiting. I apologize for the delay and for the whole scheduling issue. So that's Hashem, next week we should be back to normal. And we'll finish off this point and probably start at the Purim point. Have a terrific night.